Okay. So, good morning, Rabbi Isai. Continuing our discussion about the mass burning of the Jews in Blois in France in 1171. The institution of Rabbi Natan of the Tanis of Chof Sivan, which falls on this Friday. The I looked at the slichas for Chof Sivan. They're actually printed in many, many Sidurim. At the end of the slichas that we have for various various dates, at the back of this of the siddur, you've got the slichas there for Chof Sivan. There are altogether four slichas, and number three of them, they're all written by Rishonim. And the third one is specific, and it mentions the Haruge Bloyesh, Beis Lamed Vov Yud Shin, which is Blois. And it mentions that it was in the year Tof Tof Kuf Lamed Aleph, which is 4435, which is 1171. 4531. Tof Tof Kuf Lamed Aleph. It's 531 plus 4000. Yeah. 4531, which is 1171. And it says they're actually names of the people who were burnt. And it says specifically there that there were 17 ladies amongst them. In fact, there were more ladies than men. There were 17 ladies, 14 men who were killed. It says there as well. These people were burnt at the stake by the Christians.
It wasn't a
blood libel.
Crusade thing.
It wasn't a crusade thing. The crusade had already been in 1096. That was nearly 80 years earlier. But no, this was a blood libel. This was the first blood libel on continental Europe. And after that, there were many, many copycats in copycat situations in France, in Germany, and in Italy. In particular, there were many other blood libels, but this was the first one. As I say, this is one of the most glorious exports of the UK to the EU, because we started with the blood libels here before Europe. And in any event, and it mentions their names there. It also mentions, as we've mentioned, that the Goyim were amazed because the people died, the people were dying, but their bodies were not thing on. The first thing that happens, it says it actually in the kinnah, in the actual slicha, he says there that the ropes that were binding them burnt, but their bodies were not burnt, because there was a miracle occurred that their bodies were not destroyed. And therefore the ropes burnt. When the ropes burnt, the people ran out of the fire. They ran away from the fire, and it says there that the goyim who were around pushed them back into the fire. And eventually it says that their neshamas went, the neshama was killed, but the bodies survived, and even the goyim admitted that there must be something miraculous has gone on here. So that was 1171, that was Blois, and Rabbeinu Tam, who was presumably the God Lador at the time, who was himself a Rishon, and some of the men who were killed, who were burnt at the stake, they weren't tied to a stake. I don't know whether they were or weren't, but they were put in the fire anyway, they were burnt alive. Rabbeinu Tam was Mesaken this Tanis of Chof Sivan. And this Tanis of Chof Sivan continued then for the next 400 years, over 400 years, nearly 500 years, this Tanis continued as a Tanis for the Jews of France specifically, on the direction of Rabbi Natan. And then in what is today Ukraine, in 1648 and 1649 were the Gzeres of Tachtat. The Gzeres of Tachtat was a Cossack called Bogdan Khmelnytsky, who Khmelnytsky. I think so. I don't know. Oh yeah. Today, by the way, he is still today a hero in Ukraine. In the middle of Kiev, there is a big statue of Bogdan Khmelnytsky standing on a horse. But there was a period of 4 years when there was no king. And during that period, there was anarchy. And during that period of anarchy, these Cossacks ran wild. Right? They went from town to town and from city to city, destroying, killing, raping, stealing, burning, destroying kahilas. They destroyed the first one was the kahila of Nemirov, and it was on Shavuos at night. And it says there that in the shul alone, right, they herded 300 people inside the shul, and then they set fire to the shul on the night of Shavuos. And then it went on for 2 years, Tachtat 1648, 1649, And at that time, Rabbeinu, the Tosfos Yom Tov composed the Mishaberach. Especially, we'll discuss maybe that tomorrow. But he instituted that we here in the Ukraine, we here in the Eastern Europe, should adopt the Tanis of Chof Sivan and say the Slichas of Chof Sivan in commemoration of these massacres that took place in 1648 and 1649, which had originally been a Tanis only for the people of France from 1171.
Started the Torah in Northwest London Monday, Test Zion Sivan, 1st of June. Rena Rav Mordechai Ginsbury Shlita, Senior Rabbi, Hendon United Synagogue, Rider Close. Ha'oras Ponim, Obiruchas Hasholem. This is Torah that is sponsored anonymously, or in Ishmas, our esteemed founder of Yosef Dov Ben. Hashem Mechol Tzvi Itzkovitz, Zichrono Livracho.
Shas Mishnayos concludes Omer Shim ben Chalafta, very famous Maim Chazal Shim ben Chalafta, Loimot HaKadosh Baruch Hu Keini Machzik Brocha Yisrael Ela HaShalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu found no better vessel, vehicle, with which to be able to dispense, in which to be able to contain, to hold Brocha for Klal Yisrael, Ela HaShalom. Shenema, as the Pesuk in Tehillim Chaftes, Pesuk Yudal says, Hashem oiz lama yitain, Hashem yivoreches v'may v'ashomim. With that, Shas Mishnayos concludes. Hashem yivoreches v'may v'ashomim, Hashem oiz lama yitain is also seen as being the gift of Matan Torah, as we'll see presently. Says the Tosfos Yom Tov on that Mishnah, U'mayma hazeh roi liyos b'chasimus ha-Mishnah. The reason why this maimah should come at the very end of Mishnayos is Ki Hashem oiz lama yitain al shas matan teiru hu nema. As I just said, says the Tosfos Yom Tov, this posuk Hashem oiz lama yitain is said in respect of matan teiru. U'mikiven shechashinosu lehema oiz hi ha-teira birchein gamkein b'sholem. And when he gave them that oiz of the teira, he gave them also the bracha of shalom. Neida mizeh shezoi satira higeremes birchas hashalom. We learn from this that Torah itself is the cause. Torah itself leads ultimately to the bracha of shalom. We say that the concept of shalom is bound up with matan Torah itself. The Gemara Megillah Yufches tells us the following. Why is it? Ma ro lema sim sholem acha birchas kani. So we're moving on from the Mishnah, the end of Uksim, to the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yufches. Why was the takona to say sim sholem after birchas kani? Dichsiv, as the Posuk in last week's parasha tells us, in Parashas Nosoi, the Somores Shmi al Bnei Yisrael va'ani avorachim. They will place, the Kohanim will place my name on Klal Yisrael, and I will give them the bracha. Birchos Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sholem. The bracha, the ultimate bracha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sholem Shenema Hashem Oiz Lamayitain Hashem Yavorech Esim Avashalim. So we see a connection between Birchas Kohanim and the bracha Sim Sholem itself, as the ultimate bracha, which flows not only from the Torah, from HaKadosh Baruch himself, is that bracha of Sholem. Now, a third element I want to focus on in understanding the concept of Sholem is from the last bracha of Shemini Esrei, as we just said it in Tfilah, with probably within the last hour or so. Sim Sholem Tov Uvracha, Sim Sholem. Sim Sholem, Sholem. Tov Uvracha, Chein V'Ches V'Rachim, Aleinu V'Kol Yisramecha, Baruchenu Avinu Kulonu Ke'echad B'er Panecha. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that following on from Sim Sholem should be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a bracha B'er Panei Hashem, B'er Panecha. And we furthermore reinforce, underscore this by the continuation of the bracha. Ki v'oy ponech onosato lonu, Hashem lekein toras chayim avas chesed, etc. In other words, what do we see? Here we see something extra in Sim Shalom. That bikush of Shalom is somehow bound up with a ha'oras p'nei Hashem. And that's something I want to try and examine, explore together this morning in the course of our shiur. What is the connection between ha'oras ponim and the bracha of Shalom? And from this, I think we will, be'ezra Hashem, gain a deeper understanding of what we mean by ha'oras ponim and what we also mean by the bracha of Shalom itself. Let's just recap and notice for a moment, however, that when we look at the end of Birchas Kohanim, Yisro Hashem ponav ilecho v'yosim lecho shalom. We look at the end of Shas, Hashem yivorech es amoy v'shalom. We look at the end of the Shemina Esra, it's shalom. Hamvorech es amoy Yisro v'shalom. But where does the Ur Ponech come into it? How do we understand the concept of Kiva Oponech and Osatalonu? Everything is the Haros Ponim. What is the element of the Haros Ponim? I want to start from something which is perhaps the very beginning of our year, Tekiyas Shofar. The first posuk we say after Tekiyas Shofar is Ashrei Ha'om Yodei Seruah. Happy is the people who knows the sounding of the Shofar. Hashem, be'or ponecho yalichu. Hashem, they should journey forwards, be'or ponecho. What's the meaning of be'or ponei Hashem, as far as Tekiyas Shofar is concerned, especially when we have the posuk in Amos Gimel, which tells us, hayitok ha-shofar bo'ir va'om le'yecherodu, that the sounding of the shofar should be something which instills a sense of awe, a sense of dread. And yet here we're saying, Ashrei, there's an element of happiness as far as Tekiyas Shofar is concerned. And Lichura, it's because Hashem be'or ponecho yalichun. There is this possibility, there is this facility to journey forward be'or ponei Hashem. So the pashtus of be'or ponei Hashem is, we describe it as Gilui Shechina. Siyata Dishmaya, an awareness, a presence of Ribbono Shel'Olam in our lives, a lichtigkeit which comes from a meeting with the Ribbono Shel'Olam, kaviyochel, we should be zeicher to it. I want to share with you a very different insight, though, again from last week's parsha, from an idea which comes from the Kosmos Ayur. And it's very appropriate to share this idea both in terms of last week's parsha and also the idea of the Kosmos Oyer, Oyer Pnei Hashem. So the Kosmos Oyer was Reb Meir Reb Zvi Yitzchok Eisenstadt. He lived in the 17th century and he also wrote the Ponim Iris. So he says a most amazing idea. He connects the Yoe Hashem Ponav Eilecho to the Yisa Hashem Ponav Eilecho V'yosem Lecho Shalayim. And I'm going to read you the exact Loshon the Kosmos Ohr says, translate and work it through together, because this is mamash yosod of the idea I'm trying to share with you this morning. Motzinu b'Zohar Kodesh, says the Kosmos Ohr, we find in the Zohar Kodesh, ki oisius Hashem shoyu charusus alatzitz, the oisius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name that were engraved on the tzitz hazov, on the golden headplate that the Kohen Gadol wore on his forehead. They had a luminosity to them and they shone. And when you saw that oir of the tzitz, it gave a sense of awe. It gave it shook a person up. I remember hearing many years ago, B'Shem the Briskerov. The Briskerov used to say, we all think, we all have a dimming in our minds of Mashiach time. When Mashiach comes, we'll all be running to give him Shalom Aleichem. It'll be bigger than anything you've seen, the biggest Rebbe Shatish, where everyone's running to give Shalom. That's what we imagine will be Kabbalah to Mashiach. Said the Brisker will be Pum Faket. When Mashiach comes, there'll be such a gilui of emes in the world, we'll all run away, mirev pachad, when we realize where we should have been, the people we should have been, and when we really are. That is another element of Ur Pnei Hashem. It's a deeper, it's a more difficult, it's a searing, scrutinizing light, which actually makes us look into ourselves internally and see the people that we are. That's Yoy Hashem Pono Veilecha Vichuneka. The chin comes to those people who are prepared with honesty, with integrity, with even a sense of courage to confront what that Ur Pnei Hashem really means. It's not just some sort of warm, fuzzy, lovely experience. Of course it's that as well, that we all look to and we feel that we go to, for example, the Kosel, and we feel a sense of uplift. We go to the Kremis HaKadosh, we go to Kevet Rochel, we go to the Moros Machpelah, and we feel that we daven there, we feel a sense of warmth and connection with Hashem, but there's something even deeper. And this is what Yiras Shemayim is really all about. That the person had the courage to look, and one saw, and was niskaf ema, liboy hoya nishpa, says the Kosnas Oyer. As a result of that Oyer of the Tzitzazov, a person's heart was broken. V'kach hoyu chatov miskapri. And through that, the Averus were actually forgiven. Yoytzi Eifai, says the Kosnas Oyer, therefore it comes out, that shal yedei yoy Hashem ponov elecha, what actually happens? HaKadosh Baruch himself is Meir Es Shemai, Chozru Bnei Yisrael B'Tshuva, V'Hezeh Hevi Lidei Yisrael Hashem Ponim V'Elechov Yosem L'Chosh Olayim. The Nesias Ponim actually comes from that willingness to expose oneself to the scrutiny of what the Ur Pnei Hashem is really supposed to be all about. And we find an idea in a maimah from Rav Chaim Shulevitz and Tzal, it's maimah Lamed Zayin from Tovshin Lamed Beis, which he gives, which is given as the heading of the sefer about Kino Falti Kamti, Ki Eishev Bachoshech Hashem Early, which is posuk from Michal Zayin. That sometimes there is a situation in which a person experiences a certain element of journeying through darkness. And through that darkness, Hashem Oli. Sometimes we've got to be prepared to sacrifice, as it seems, something, to be prepared to have the courage to go through a certain dark passage to come to a certain element of brighter light. Im lo yoshavti b'choshech, if I hadn't been prepared to sit in that darkness, lo haya Hashem Oli, Hashem wouldn't have become my light. And just to quote one phrase from Chaim Shlevitz, you can look at the Sikha yourself, we don't have time to go into it in full detail this morning, says Chaim Shlevitz, Ki amafriya ikar lis'aloi so'odom hu ha'yisraglos lematzavai. A person becomes too comfortable, too complacent in their own situation, and as a result of that, they find themselves in a circumstance where they're just, as it were, coasting through life. They're not becoming everything they can become. There is a Choshen Rosh Yeshiva with whom I was zoicha to have a chavrusa in Manchester many years ago, and he was a Rosh Chabura, and he was doing very well, and he told me one day, we were learning, he said, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. What is? What's not good here? What's not going well? You're growing, you're leading a Chabura, you're learning your whole life, etc. He said amazing things. He said, I feel I'm losing my she'ifa legadlus. I'm losing my aspiration to become the greatest person I can possibly become. Eitaka went to Israel, he opened yeshiva, he's very matzliach, and Odom God lad ma'oid. Reb Shlomo Volbe used to teach to us as follows, the posuk in Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes. Pesach dvrecho yoi, Maven Pesoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes lights up for us just simply an initial little ray of light, and that gives understanding to the foolish. Rav Volbe used to explain the pasuk in the following way: Pesach d'rochayoy. Imagine the room is completely dark. You don't know what's inside that room. Suddenly, is that flash of light. The flash of light shows you a little bit of what's in that room, and it's truly amazing. What's your responsibility? Your responsibility is to be able to connect with the source of light and to bring that source of light to bear in such a way that you will be able to experience that brightness full on, full time. Pesach Derech Yoha, Kodesh Baruch Hu just lights up the way for us, Maven Pesoim, to give understanding to the foolish. And we would remain foolish if we didn't develop our understanding to a greater extent as far as moving forwards. I want to explore one further area of what it means to understand and to engage with the Ur Panei Hashem, as we're describing it here, in that which it gives to us as far as our growth in Torah, in Avodah, etc. There's a posuk which comes in Parshas Lukas as part of the Shira Sabeir. Ezvohev Pesufo. The Gemara in Kiddushin tells us, Om Rav Chia Ba'aba, Afilu Avu B'noi, V'arava Tamidoi, She'oiskin B'Torah, V'nasu Oyevim Zelozeh. It can be sometimes even a father and a son, a Rav and his Talmud. They're studying a sugi together, v'nasim oyevim ze lozeh, and they mamash, they reach a situation where their havona is different, and they become irritated, more than irritated, oyevim ze lozeh. That's part of the mahalach of milchamta shel Torah. Einam zozim misham, says the Gemara on this pasuk, ezvo yusufa, they don't move from there, until they become beloved to one another. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Ezvoiv Basufa, Altikre Basufa, Elo Basufa. Ultimately, the Milchamta Shel Torah, which is again going through, can be going through a difficult passage if you're really, really determined to achieve a Havana of the Sugya, and you want to hold to how you understand it. You've got to be really strong in that regard. Perhaps this is also pshat in that which we daven in Birchas Av Rabbah prior to Kriyas Shema, for Ho'er Einenu B'Siros Echa. You have to be prepared. We want our eyes to be lit up. The Torah should be lifting for us. But we've got to be prepared to expose ourselves to that scrutiny. There is a wonderful book which my wife bought me last year before Yom Teruah, which I've had such an awe from. Unfortunately, it's a biography on an Odom Godel, to whom I was zeicher to be close, who's no longer with us. Many of us were close to him here in England, Rebbe Yisrael Zalman, zeicher tzadiko livracha. And there are some fantastic, fantastic meisim in that book, which I'd like to share a couple of them with you this morning, both in Yishmosai, and also because I personally get such a chizuk, not just having read them, from turn them over. Reb Matzios Rebetzin didn't learn in Sem. Rebetzin Miriam. She didn't learn in Sem. And when Matzio, when he married, so he had a chavrusa in the evening with his Rebetzin's brother, with Reb Elia Falk. And the first time they learned together, they came out after 2-3 hours learning together. And the Rebbetzin was sitting on the stairs crying. And he looked, what, crying? What's wrong? What's happened? She said, I hope that as my husband and my brother, the two of you get on well together. And all I heard was shouting backwards and forwards, you were arguing with each other. She said, I was so upset. And they turned around, they explained, no, this is what the Beis HaMidrash is about. This is how you learn Torah. That afilu ha'avu b'noi, however close the relationship is, nasim oyavim ze lo ze, ba'enom zozim misham, ad she nasim oyavim ze lo ze. this pursuit of truth and unsearing bikush for the Ur Pnei Hashem, which, as I say, is more than just a warm, fuzzy idea, is something which comes to mind in another Maisa, which has brought down that incredible book. I don't get any commission on the sales of this particular book, but I'm telling you, for me, it's been absolute
fantastic.
Real chizuk, real uplift to read this book. See some of you nodding, and some of you also enjoyed it so far. So there's two stories I want to share with you further about what it means to be mevakish Ur Pnei Hashem, to be a Talmid Chacham Amiti, an Odom Gadol. One story is told that Reb Matisyo once went from America to Eretz Yisrael to seek out Das Torah from Rabbi Eliashiv. He went in to meet with Rabbi Eliashiv, and as you can imagine, anyone who was zocher to go to Rabbi Eliashiv, there were always people around Rabbi Eliashiv, particularly in the later years. It was always very, very busy there. So the time came to clear out the room. Reb Matisyo wants to speak to Rabbi Eliashiv. So they clear out the room. The two of them are left there alone. They talk 15, 20 minutes. Matisyo comes out. So the person who's accompanying Matisyo asks him, says, "No, Viesgrain, the Mashkiach got the answer?" "No," he said, "didn't get the answer." He said, "Why didn't you get the answer?" He said, "Didn't ask the question." He said, "Why didn't you ask the question?" He said, "I saw there was somebody under the table who was like listening in, you know, wanted to hear. I couldn't embarrass him in front of Eliashiv to tell him to leave the room. So I didn't ask the question. I just sat, we talked together in Torah, whatever. I didn't ask the question." He came all the way from America to find the answer. I can't think many people have the midas, the godless, to actually not ask the question under those circumstances. So he says, "Was wer sein?" So the person who comes from Matthew said, "What's going to be? You need to have this guy. What are you going to do?" And Matthew turned around, he said, "If you do the right thing in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you'll never lose. It'll be all right. I did that which was right." That's exposing yourself to the Ur Pnei Hashem. I've got my question, I need to ask it, I need to find the answer. It's dachuf, it's important. I come first, I'm number one, I've come here, I've come from America, I've paid a ticket, whatever, etc., etc. No, that's the right thing to do. That's what you have to do. And there's one other story I want to tell you, which I think is also something about what it means to journey by Ur Pnei Hashem. Just like Chazal tell us that kol ha-godl chmei chaveri yitzru godl emenu, you also find a thing I've seen in life that when people reach great levels of godless, they do meet some level of opposition and difficulty at times. Unwarranted, unjustified, but there's a certain sign which comes in that area. Reb Matisyo apparently had one particular person in America who was right with him, really gave him a hard time. One day, Reb Matisyo's Tamidim came in to him and said to him, "We found out this person isn't the person we all think he is. We found out there's a real problem with this individual," he says, "and we've got the evidence and whatever, etc." And this has been the greatest news to Matisyo. His biggest opponent, the person who's making so many difficulties for him, this person who's ready for him, has got a chance to settle the score, deal with him, take him off the scene, take him down, as they say nowadays, right? Reb Matisyo turned around and he asked the person who came in, he said, "Who else knows about this?" He says, "Nobody," he says, "but we've got the evidence." So Reb Matisyo said, "I want you to take the evidence and I want you to tear it up and destroy it and not share it with anybody." "Remember, you've got the chance to remove this person from your life, from Mashkiach's life, to remove this thorn in your side. We can remove this thorn from your side. What are you telling us to do?" So Matthew turns around, he said, "This is a fellow who's got a life, he's got a wife, he's got children, he's got shidduchim to make, he needs pranosa. It's not worth it to destroy him that I should have an easier life." Oh, wow, what a madriga. What a madriga. But this is a madriga of a person who's been prepared to be som leiloisov kiyomov b'milchamti shel Torah. I'll tell you one little story that happened with me. I had to have a kesher with Matisyo. And when I started my early years in Rabbonus in Manchester, I used to on occasion drive over to Gateshead early in the morning. I'd go to Davin Yeshiva and then go home, have breakfast with Matsyo, and talk through various inyonim with him. And one of the things I asked him was, how does one manage to make time to learn Torah when you're busy day and night with the tzibur? So Matsyo, in his very, very kind, gracious, warm, smiling way, looked across and he said, Modchi, he says, you and me are in the same boat. Oh, the same boat, what does he mean? He says, during our waking hours, we have to be there for Klal Yisrael. We have to be there for Klal Yisrael. So you have to make sure that when you want to learn for yourself, ask for time when Klal Yisrael won't want you. So either late at night or early in the morning, you have to make time when people are not around, not needing you so much. That's the time you have to make as far as learning is concerned. When a person's been through those dark tunnels, through that hasmother, then you'll be able to achieve that particular madrega of Kedushas Hashem. I want to close with another pasuk from Tehillim. Hashem tzilcho al yad yiminecho, which we say in Tehillim Kuf Chaf Aleph. Shelem Aleph says, Soi nai leharim me ayin yovo yezri. Ezri Hashem, Beitish Mevoretz, Hashem tzilcho al yad yiminecho, the shadow image. What does the shadow image mean? It means two things. As the Moshe would say, the closer you go to a mirror, the closer your own image is to yourself. The closer you're prepared to approach, the more you see. The closer we walk to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem Tzilcho Ad Yiminecho, the clearer the image, the greater the sense of security, the greater the sense of understanding. Not so easy. Not so easy. I don't know, some of you may remember a number of years ago, there was this episode with a few dozen miners in Chile who got caught hundreds of meters underground. And the only way they could extract them was they drilled through the rock. They drilled through the rock and they brought some experts, fellow in doing these things from America. And they put a capsule. It took about 15, 20 minutes. And you can imagine the person was like almost entombed in this thin capsule, had to be schlepped up. They tried various things, made it easier for them, made sure there was a supply of fresh air going in. They gave them earmuffs to hear music, trying. But if any of you, I certainly can envisage a situation which feel a little bit claustrophobic. And I thought, you know, if I had the choice, I think I might say, you know what, leave me down here. Leave me down here. I don't want that 15, 20 minutes. But I'm a shagas, I'm a cheshbon. You realize sometimes in life you've got to be prepared to give yourself over, to go through the darkness. Ilu yashavti b'choshech, ilu yashavti choshech, lo hashem early. I have to prepare to go through and to reach those levels of mesirus nefesh and to seek out the urpnei Hashem. Hashem tzilcho al yad minecho. And the shadow is something which is dark as well. So therefore it is the very darkness itself which allows you to experience the urpnei Hashem. I finish with a story of a particular poem which was written by a lady in America in 1936. And this particular lady, Mae Stevenson, had a great deal of difficulty in being able to actually copyright the story as something which she herself had written. Eventually she secured the copyright to it. It's a story or a poem which is known about footprints in the sand. And this particular story, some of you may already know it, amazing story. Someone's looking back over the course of their lifetime and they see most of their lifetime there are two sets of footprints wherever they walked in their life. But they see something that's on a very strange thing. On the most difficult moments in life, there's only one set of footprints. And they understand that this is about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam is there with them and always walking on. So Hashem Tzilcho Al Yad Yiminecho. Person considers again and they realize that at the most difficult moments in life, there's only one set of footprints. Ki'inu the Ribbono Shel Olam Chas V'Shalom abandoned them. So the person asks, who's going to the Ribbono Shel Olam those difficult times? And the Baskel comes down and says, my dear child, do not imagine I ever abandoned you. When it got really difficult and you see there's only one set of footprints, that's when I picked you up and I carried you. What a beautiful thought. The Ribbono Shel Olam is always there with us and for us. We have to invakish the Urpani Hashem. And sometimes it doesn't come immediately. Sometimes it's Ribbono Shel Olam carrying us. Sometimes it's a situation in which the light is just there around the corner. But ultimately, as I said, Noch Tekiah Shefa Ashriyom Yodisroa Hashem Ba'urponecho Yalichun. And in Birchas Konim, in Birchas HaSholem, you want to be Zeichet to Sholem, Sim Sholem Tzoyv Uvrocha, then you have to know that Yoy Hashem Ponov Eilecha means not just a bikush for the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but actually being prepared to expose yourself to what it means to get to that Madrega, and then Yis Hashem Ponov Eilecha, the same Lecha Shalom.
Shkaya!
Your son, I heard.